For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This episode of the Candlestick Kids is brought to you by Bet Online. All eyes are back on the gridiron and his teams are back for another football season. And as always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, Bet Online continues to be your number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use the mobile app and sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE to receive your bonus. For football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. What up, TCK Potters? Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Sky Guasco. Another episode of the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast, a.k.a. TCK Pod. We are streaming live during Thursday night football between the Packers and the Cardinals. We are breaking down the Week 8 NFL game previews with my man, Christopher Benavides. Last week, he was subbed in by his brother, Alex. We had a great episode. Chris is back, though, for this week. We're going to get into the Week 8 game previews. We're going to split the episode. We'll come right back at you after that for the TCK Pod Listener League, for those of you interested in those updates. Chris, had the week off, man. How was the bye week for you? You get healthy?
I did get healthy, yeah. I got my rest. I don't know if you heard. I got a fractured shin similar to my man Gibson. No, I'm just kidding. I'm actually totally healthy. Unlike Gibson.
It's been tough, man. It has been Antonio Gibson's been tough because you got to play him. Some of these players out there, you know, like you'll take 40% of Antonio Gibson over pretty much any other running back. So you got to play him, but it has been a bit difficult. All right, man. Well, let's cut the fluff here. We'll get right into it. We got to get into the Week 8 action. We only have two teams on bye this week. Six teams on bye last week, Chris. Tons of fantasy gold, obviously. This week, we only have the Ravens and the Raiders out of it. We're not going to cover the Thursday night football game, of course, because Bucky and Bob have already done that for us. So let's jump ahead instead and get right into the action. Everybody, please make sure you follow the Commish Fantasy Football Podcast if you have not already. And make sure you follow Chris and the boys and the rest of the crew on the Twitterverse here at the Commish FFP. All right, let's dive right into it here. We got the Bengals and the Jets. The Bengals coming in at 5-2, Jets 1-5. Bengals 10.5-point favorites in this one, over under 43 here. Ja'Marr Chase absolutely on fire. Joe Burrow as well. Your man Joe Mixon hasn't been incredible, but could have a nice game here against the Jets, who can't stop anybody. On the other side, Zach Wilson out for a couple weeks. They kicked the tires once again on my man Uncle Flacco, but it looks like he will not be getting the start just yet. Corey Davis, really the only asset there outside of Michael Carter. How do you feel about the Bengals and the Jets this week?
Yeah, it's an interesting game. The Bengals are, I believe, the best team in the AFC. Is that correct, the way it stands?
Tied record-wise, yes, they are the best team in the AFC North. I know that.
Yeah. So it's an interesting matchup because obviously the Jets are hurt right now. So you'd think that you'd want to start Corey Davis and potentially start Michael Carter for the Jets here. I'm actually feeling that you definitely want to start Michael Carter here, even though right now the Bengals entered the game with allowing 94 rushing yards per game, which is seventh lowest mark in the NFL. But I mean, Michael Carter is pretty much their lone offensive option or lone offensive weapon at the moment. So I think you have to fire up Michael Carter as like a low end wide running back two. And then as far as the Bengals go, I mean, I think you start everyone but Tyler Boyd. I think other than Boyd, I think you're going to see a lot of offense for all Bengals players here. So that's kind of my take on the Bengals this week.
You staying in the Flames with CJ Uzomah? Absolutely on fire the last couple of weeks, but seems to be very boom or very bust.
I think you kind of have to, right? I mean, if you, because otherwise it's like, who else are you going to replace for him? And I think if you're thinking about a CJ Uzomah type, I mean, he's got the highest upside. So why not go for the upside on a tight end position?
Fair enough.
Yep.
All right, let's move on here to the Dolphins and the Bills. Dolphins 1-6, Bills 4-2. Bills coming in 14-point home favorites. Another one of these massive college style over unders we've seen this year in the NFL. 49.5 over under here. Dolphins, a lot of news obviously with the Deshaun Watson conversation, but until anything happens, we're gonna look at Tua Tagovailoa as the starter there. You have Jalen Waddle, who's been playing well. Mike Gesicki, top five tight end potentially moving forward. He's been very involved this year. Will Fuller could be coming back. Miles Gaskin last week, 10 targets, 10 receptions. On the other side, Bills coming fresh off a bye. We know their offense. No Dawson Knox, could be an uptick for Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley, along, of course, Diggs and Allen. Plus, you got kind of that 50-50 split in the backfield with Moss and Singletary. How do you feel about the Bills and Dolphins?
Yeah, so I think you have to fire up all Dolphins in this game only because I think they'll be playing from behind most of it. So I actually have no problem firing up Gaskin, Waddle, Tua. Even though the Bills defense is pretty difficult, I think they're going to be just fine in offense from like a, again, from like a garbage time perspective. So from a fantasy perspective, I think you fire up the Dolphins. For the Bills, I think you have to fire up Emmanuel Sanders. Right now, I didn't realize this, but the dude is averaging a career high 17.2 yards per reception. So and you can kind of see the seesaw because Stephon Diggs isn't having quite the year he had last year, although still, you know, effective like Stephon Diggs can and should be. But Sanders is kind of the guy that's taken over here. The guy I'm a little bit nervous about in this game is going to be Devin Singletary. It does seem like he's starting to get outsnapped by Zach Moss. He has been outsnapped in the last four games, just averaging 9 carries per game during that span. So I think Singletary is kind of the guy you want to stay away from. It does seem like Zach Moss's backfield, and he is the goal line back. So no problem starting Zach Moss, probably going to be sitting Singletary.
All right. Moving on here to the Eagles and the Lions. I say it every week, but the Lions are the best 0-7 football team probably in NFL history, but they are still winless. 2-5 Eagles here. Should have had a couple more victories this year, but just can't get over the schneid there. 3.5-point road favorites for the Eagles. This could be a sneaky Detroit Lions first win. I'm just going to throw that out there. Only 48.5 over-under. I say only because there might not be no defense in this game. We'll see what happens in this one here. So Eagles, of course, Jalen Hurts, 20 fantasy points plus in every start of his career. Miles Sanders out for a couple weeks with the ankle sprain. We got Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott splitting the work there. Goddard looked great by himself. Devonta Smith is a nice option there as well out of the receiving core. On the other side for the Lions, you got to start Swift. I think my man Jamal Williams is an afterthought at this point, unfortunately. TJ Hawkinson looks like he's bounced back after a knee injury the last couple of weeks. He's been hyper-targeted recently. And in the pass game there, I mean, it seems to be kind of a roulette wheel there. I'm not really comfortable with any of the wide receivers for the Lions, but how are you feeling about Philly and Detroit?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's funny that you say that they're the best 0-7 team in history. I agree with you. They are a very talented team. We've talked about this on the Commish podcast a few times. They're
competitive, if nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're talented. I just feel like they're too young or they're just, for whatever reason, they're just not putting a full four quarters together. And I guess this could be the game, but I just think the Eagles are talented strictly because Jalen Hurts is much better with the ball in his hands than I think Jared Goff is. So I don't really know which way to slice this game up. I can see it kind of going in a number of directions. I will say that the guy I'm probably feeling most comfortable with is Devonta Smith. Right now, Detroit is giving up the fourth most receiving yards to opposing wideouts this season. And that goes along with an average of 15.7 yards per reception. So I actually do think you'll see a lot of Hurts to Smith type of work this game. But then it come, you know, can in that sense, Swift be sort of the balance for the Lions in order to kind of, you know, keep this game even and maybe give them the win, the edge in the win this week.
All right. Hang on there, Detroit Lions fans. I think the future is bright, but it's going to be a tough turnaround there.
I know.
All right, Panthers and Falcons. Panthers coming in 3-4, Falcons 3-3. Falcons 3-point home favorite, 46.5 over-under in this one. Panthers, again, 3-0 with Christian McCaffrey, 0-4 without him. DJ Moore has come back down to earth. Robbie Anderson, 21 targets the last two games. about four receptions. You can't get him going, unfortunately, which is just baffling to me. Hubbard's been just fine in a replacement role, but he's not even Mike Davis. And yeah. I don't think Mike Davis was that impressive last year. So you have to start him because he's a running back, but he's more of a flex to me than like an automatic RB1 or RB2. And on the other side for the Falcons, I really am excited for obviously Kyle Pitts, back-to-back 100 yards, and he's just now blossoming, which is nice to see. Calvin Ridley, he has 10-plus targets average, but he is not getting the receptions. I think he's due. That could happen this week versus secondary. And then on the other side, it's not Mike Davis. It's going to be Cordero Patterson for me in the backfield. I like Matt Ryan as a streamer as well. Carolina, Atlanta.
Yeah, dude, it's a tricky game to sort of assess. I don't know what version of either team you're going to get. The Falcons are obviously playing a lot better. Pitts is turning it up, like you just mentioned. The Panthers are not playing good at all. So it's really difficult to assess what game you're going to get. You're kind of meeting two teams that have presumably like flopped places in the, you know, from the start of the year to now. And all of a sudden, you know, they're up against each other. So, I mean, from a fantasy perspective, I think you sit Mike Davis. Cordero Patterson is the guy in the backfield. He's taking all the red zone work. He's taking the goal line work. He's taking the passing work. He's taking all the work. Sit Mike Davis. And then the other guy I think you sit this week is going to be Robbie Anderson. He has seen a respectable 9 targets in week 7, but he's just turned those into 3 receptions for 14 yards. The dude is not really, I mean, I don't even know what to say. He's like less than efficient or less than inefficient, whatever. In inefficient wide receivers, he's worse than that right now. I don't know. It's like you can't like script this. DJ Moore is even taking a hit right now. I mean, just Sam Darnold's just not doing it. We had someone on our IG page at the Commish FFP on Instagram, and he's like, you know, it's not Sam Darnold. He's actually talking about Geno Smith as well. He's like, you can take the guy out of the Jets, but you can't take the Jets out of the guy. So that's the way it is right now.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And it's, you know, we've had a lot of this like post Adam Gase situation, Ryan Tannehill, Kenyon Drake, Sam Darnold to start the season, Robbie Anderson last year. But unfortunately, it just isn't happening. And Robbie Anderson doesn't make sense. Like, there's no excuses for it. Like, he's getting open. He's getting mad target. I mean, 11 targets 2 weeks ago, 9 last week. He's getting the targets, played very well last year, played well with Sam Darnold and the Jets. The offense just isn't the same. Nobody is afraid of the run game because Christian McCaffrey's gone. So they can back off, and now they can cover the wide receivers, and the schedule has tightened up as well. So tough sledding here for the Panthers. Started 3-0. They now are 0-4 over the last 4. All right, let's move on here to the Rams and the Texans. Yikes. You don't see much more lopsided than this one here. Rams 6-1, Texans 1-6. Rams are 14.5 point road favorites. Chris, I don't think, unless it was a Buccaneers over under this year that I'm not thinking of off top, I don't remember seeing a professional over-under of 14-plus points from a road team. This is pretty extraordinary here. 47.5 over-under, which is bad news for the Texans, because if they have the Rams winning by 2 touchdowns and it's 47 over-under, they don't have the Texans score more than maybe 2 touchdowns. This one could get ugly in a hurry. For the Rams, you start your studs. I love Henderson, start of the week here. Stafford, the only issue with Stafford – and really all these weapons is what the Cardinals did last week. They get up early, they start smashing, and then they kind of run out of time to have to like put up points. So you just have like dud numbers because they run out of time. Stafford, Henderson, Kupp, even Woods, and Higbee, I think, are all automatic starts this week. And of course, at Rams DST on the other side for the Texans. If Tyrod Taylor plays, I would sit him unless you're in a super flex league. And Brandon Cooks remains the only one on the Texans that I'm remotely interested. Also, if you missed it somehow at this point, now you have Mark Ingram, who has been shipped back to New Orleans. So he's no longer in the backfield. So there's a little bit more opening for David Johnson and Philip Lindsay, but I'm still not interested in either of those guys against the Rams this week.
Yeah, so the only thing that I would consider, I just want to touch on David Johnson briefly. So the Rams right now are giving up the 6th most receiving yards to running backs. They've let up 364 yards to running backs this year. And Johnson has starting to see some targets. He had 6 targets in his last 3 games, and he's already scored a receiving touchdown this season. So it's a possibility that if you are in a deeper league and need a flex player and you have David Johnson on your bench, this actually could be a scenario where, you know, the Texans fall behind early. They have no more Mark Ingram. David Johnson's in the game and he gets a lot of dump off work. So again, game script dependent, but this could be the game script David Johnson needs to kind of give you a bit of a boost this year, or I should say this week.
Totally agree. All right, let's move on here to the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns. Steelers coming off the bye, 3-3. Browns at 4-3. They get Nick Chubb back. Kareem Hunt still out. Baker Mayfield, questionable at best, but he might be out as well. Could be Case Keenum also. OBJ also banged up in this one. Landry comes back last week. Decent performance. D'Ernest Johnson dominated on Thursday Night Football. We'll see if he has a role this week with Nick Chubb coming back on the other side. Steelers, Big Ben is a super flex play at most. Deontay Johnson is a must play. He's getting, you know, double-digit targets every week. Chase Claypool, nice deep option there. And then Najee Harris, of course, with his volume there as well. Chris, this should be a fun game. And again, both of these teams all of a sudden looking up, not only at the Ravens, which you can understand, but at the Cincinnati Bengals. Both of these teams need a win here. And they're okay. But if the Steelers lose, they're sub 500. If the Browns lose, they're at 500. Neither one of those squads expected to be here halfway through the season.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be a tough matchup. I don't know which direction it's going to go. I'd probably give the edge to the Browns just because they're at home. But I don't know, man. It's really difficult to say. The one guy I'm kind of looking for fantasy purposes this week is going to be Jarvis Landry. So right now, Pittsburgh is giving up the fourth most PPR points to opposing wide receivers this season, and they've let up 9 receiving touchdowns. So they're notoriously known for having a good defense, but just this season, they really haven't put it together. And you could see some, you know, some glimpses and flash from Jarvis Landry, who's, 2 weeks healthy, I believe, at this point.
I totally agree. Let's take a quick break here. We got the Titans and the Colts coming up after this break. We're going to give a shout out to our new sponsor, Carafactor. Chris and I will be right back.
Hey, TCK Potters and Fantasy Focus community. Are you looking for options for hair loss? There are many options out there for treating it. However, most products treat the cause, such as DHT, and don't do much to support the growth of new and stronger hair. It's like removing harmful weeds from your lawn, but not doing much to fertilize the grass. That's why the Fantasy Focus and TCK team has partnered with Carafactor. Carafactor saw this problem and focused their research on finding just the right combination of biosynthetic growth factors and an innovative delivery system to promote fuller, stronger-looking hair. So whether you're a listener who suffers from various forms of alopecia or even stress-related hair loss, the Carafactor treatment is the perfect scalp-friendly solution that can help and influence stronger and healthy hair throughout all stages of the hair life cycle. And now, exclusively for TCK listeners, use the promo code TCK at checkout to get 15% off all products at shop.mycarafactor.com. That's shop.mycarafactor.com. Carafactor, skincare for hair.
All right, let's get into the Titans and the Colts. Nice divisional rivalry here. 5-2 Titans, 2 incredibly impressive wins over your Buffalo Bills and then the KC Chiefs last week in a dominant performance. And the Indianapolis Colts bouncing back here after a rough start to the season, 3-4. Colts are 1.5-point favorites at home. I am not buying that personally. 51-point over-under, one of the highest on the week here, Chris. On the Titans, of course, the Derrick Henry show. But Ryan Tannehill and your boy AJB have finally woken up. Julio, if he's healthy, he can obviously contribute, but it's been really rough getting going here so far. On the other side for the Colts, Carson Wentz has played very well. Jonathan Taylor is unstoppable. Michael Pittman is starting to burst onto the scene as well. So there's a handful of quality weapons in this game.
Yeah, I actually don't mind the line, to be honest. I know that the Titans are coming off of some good wins here, but I think they caught the Chiefs at the right time. The Chiefs are playing about as bad as the Chiefs have ever played in their entire lives. And, so I think what we're seeing here is a Tennessee Titans team that have just caught some really good teams at like bad moments and came up with wins. The Colts are actually getting hot here. I like Carson Wentz and how he's been playing lately. And right now the Colts defense is ranked 4th against the run. So I think this is going to be a true test to see how good the Colts defense is really against Derrick Henry this week. So I'm not expecting, it's crazy to say, I'm not expecting 150 yards from Derrick Henry, which is not like a facetious thing to say when you talk about this man. So
only 140.
Yeah, maybe like 140 instead. So the only guy that I'm really concerned with this week is going to be Julio Jones. So right now, Julio Jones has yet to score a touchdown this season, believe it or not, and he's averaging a career low 60.2 receiving yards per game. The dude is just not, I just really hate to see it because like we'd expect like, of course, a lot of work. because he's Julio Jones. But man, I don't know if it's injuries. I don't know if it's just, yeah, he's just the end of his tenure here as a NFL football player. But I'm sitting Julio Jones.
It's primarily the injuries. It has to be. Because we saw in week two that he dominated on the scene. I mean, he had like 12 targets or something in that game, and he was absolutely vicious. He's had this hamstring issue for a couple seasons, and he just can't get right, Chris. It's absolutely a problem. We talk a lot about Derrick Henry. Jonathan Taylor has blew up my Niners. He's been on fire. 83-yard run the other week that wasn't even a touchdown. Nyheim Hines has completely fallen back. Marlon Mack probably going to get traded here pretty soon as well. Jonathan Taylor is a must play, but which running backs, Chris, just kind of in a bubble, which running backs are you playing over Jonathan Taylor? He has to be quite far up the list, I would imagine.
I mean, yeah, in terms of like on,
like the, in general, this week, Saquon's out, CMC's out, you have the Raiders and the Ravens on bye. I mean, what running backs are ahead of Jonathan Taylor this week? For me, the only ones I could think of are Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, maybe Aaron Jones going into this game.
Maybe Zeke, but barely.
Maybe Zeke, maybe Najee Harris, but they're all in that same level. He's got to be top five, I would think, all of a sudden.
Yeah, I agree with you. And right now, so just as far as PFF has the Tennessee Titans graded, they're currently ranked 24th against the run. So, this is like, this is Jonathan Taylor territory as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. And game script wise, every team tries to do it, but it's hard to do. But if any team could do it, it's the Colts. They have a similar run game, so you can keep Henry off the field if you either run up the score or you keep the ball in your hands. And that's what the Colts are going to have to try to do against their AFC South rivals. All right, Chris, let's move on here. Jaguars and Seahawks, 1-5 Jags off the bye. Seahawks 2-5. Of course, if they had Russell Wilson, I'm sure they'd be at least 500, but nonetheless, 2-5 right now. Seahawks 3.5-point favorite at home, over under 44. Not much of a score there predicted by the money lines. Jaguars coming off. The only one I'm really interested in casual leagues is going to be James Robinson. LaVisca's not LaVisca. Marvin Jones I always love, but he's kind of hit or miss. And Trevor Lawrence is strictly a super flex stream, in my opinion. On the other side for the Seahawks, it's DK Metcalf. I know he only had the two catches, whatever, but he is the one getting the work right now from Geno Smith. Tyler Lockett is a desperate flex play. He's nothing more, in my opinion. Alex Collins even is somebody I'd be looking to go away from if you can. Again, last week we had six teams on bye, and we had like six top 15 running backs. This week we have Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake, and whoever's the starter for the Ravens. Not much more difficult. So I don't think you even have to play Alex Collins if you didn't want to. And personally, I may not. Just because the efficiency isn't there, he's strictly based on volume. I don't like that too much.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is kind of a tough game to assess from a fantasy perspective. I mean, Alex Collins, kind of talked about him. I mean, so the Jaguars have given up 8 rushing touchdowns on the season, which ties for second highest in the NFL. So you could see a lot of sort of groundwork out of the Seattle running back, Alex Collins, and he could end up being a nice flex play. Bro, I am very nervous about the wide receivers for Seattle. I know that DK seems like a must start, but I might even go so far as if you're not in a deep league and you have like a short bench and you can have a better option, I might consider it until Russell Wilson gets back. I know that he has always that upside of scoring touchdowns, but without the touchdowns, I don't know that you're going to get a good game. So I don't know. I don't know where to play him. I mean, he's playing the Jaguars, so maybe they do find something, a little bit of life here, but Geno's not cutting it, dude. And it sucks because I thought Geno was going to be a good quarterback coming out and putting up some numbers against the Rams the way he did off the bench. So just the shame that he's not taken to the offense.
It's interesting. Sometimes you see the backup quarterback come in relief, and like the adrenaline of the game, the flow of everyone rooting for him, and like the team's hyped and whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of times they actually do well in relief. And then they get like the full week of starts, the full week of film, number one, whatever. And they just kind of like fade out a little bit. And I think it's so much of that is like game flow, adrenaline. Like, this is my shot. Yep. Like, my man, Nick Mullins was like famous for that. He'd come in relief and he'd crush. And then he'd be named the starter and then fall off a cliff the next week, dude. It's interesting how that happens. Okay, let's move on to the Patriots and the Chargers. Your Patriots 3-4, Chargers 4-2 off the bye. Chargers 4-point home favorites, 50-point over under. Mac Jones playing quite well. Jacoby Myers still yet to have his touchdown, but he is the number one there. And Damian Harris seems to be a must start every week as long as Bill could trust him. He's even fumbled a couple of times, but still able to get those touchdowns, which is obviously almighty in fantasy football. J.J. Taylor had two touchdowns as well, though. So Ramondre Stevenson was a healthy scratch. I'm not really sure what that was about. On the other side, though, you start your studs. I know that Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, for their standards, they've had quote-unquote down weeks. It's a bye week. The Patriots have been playing well, but it's not the Patriots of old. I think they're going to be just fine. This is a get-right game for the Chargers. This would be a fun one, man. I'd be interested to see you and Alex sitting on the same couch. Alex is a Patriots fan by heart, but like a new Chargers fan. You're a Patriots fan forever. Yeah. I wonder how the rooting interest would go in this one.
Well, it's funny because I also have Austin Eckler in the home league, so I'm like high key hoping that he has a game.
Yeah.
I will note this though. Austin Eckler came up with a hip injury, so and it's a newer injury, so you have to monitor that. Hopefully, he can pull through it and plays for everyone. But yeah, dude, it's going to be an interesting game. The Pats are going across country; it's a pretty far trip for them. It's really difficult to say because last year I'm pretty sure the Patriots gave them a freaking spanking, and it was
dominated.
Yeah, it was the Bill Belichick rookie quarterback curse, except this year Herbert's not a rookie anymore. So I expect the Chargers to come out, off the bye and just play a lot better. The Patriots, from a fantasy perspective, again, you are right. You have to settle your studs on the Chargers. The Pats defense are playing well, but again, there's enough holes in that team. They're not particularly good against the run. I think Austin Eckler, if he's healthy, will give them an absolute headache. On the Pats side, I think 100% you have to start Damian Harris. He's gone back-to-back games with 100 rushing yards and one touchdown, so he's a lock. He's running back 16 in PPR. He gets zero passing work. So just to put that into perspective of how dominant he's been on the run without any passing work at all. The only guy that I'm worried about who I've loved this season, I'm really pulling for him to get a touchdown, is Jacoby Myers. He's yet to score an NFL touchdown. He had his sole touchdown. He found the end zone, get taken back over a holding call it was like last week. So right now the Chargers are relatively dominant against the passing work. They've let up the fewest PPR fantasy points in that position to wide receivers. They've allowed the fewest receptions at 66 and the fewest receiving yards to opposing wide receivers. So Mac Jones will probably have his hands full this week against the Chargers. And going across country, playing a good offensive team. I'd like the Pats to keep it close, but it could get out of hand.
Something I just thought about, which is just kind of weird, but it took Tom Brady more than 20 years in the NFL to play a game in Los Angeles somehow.
Yeah.
And Mac Jones is doing it in like week 8. I think this is I just think that's kind of interesting. All right, let's move on here to the Bucs and the Saints. The Bucs 6-1. The Saints, the Bucs are a very strong 6-1. The Saints are, I think, kind of a facade 4-2. They've gotten away with a couple. They're more of a 500 team right now. They don't seem to be dominant. If not for Alvin Kamara just absolutely beasting, I think they're barely a 500 team personally. Bucks, this is like the most reasonable favor they've had all season, maybe 4.5 points on the road, mind you. 50.5 point over under for the Bucks. You start your studs. AB doubtful again this week, not out yet, at time of this recording, but probably looking out. He's doubtful now with that ankle sprain. Brady's a lock. Mike Evans is a lock. 3 touchdowns last week. Chris Godwin's a lock. Gronk, I don't think, comes back. If he does, you play him. If not, OJ Howard's a streamer. And on the other side for the Saints, Jameis is a super flex option. I would not stream him in 12-team leagues. And Alvin Kamara obviously is a start. Other than that, though, nobody, I know Callaway's had some ups, Juwan Johnson's had some ups. I wouldn't be starting anybody other than Alvin Kamara. Although I will say this, I know he's older, he's long in the tooth. He was kind of a joke in Houston, but if you can roster an extra person, it might be worth putting Mark Ingram on there because he is clearly the number two. He knows the offense. Sean Payton loves the guy. If Taysom Hill remains out, he could be that goal line back. If nothing else, just keep an eye on Mark Ingram as well back in New Orleans.
Yeah, I can't really add much more to what you've already said. I think you kind of hit on all the points. Mark Ingram is an interesting play if you do want to, position yourself as a running back flex spot. But yeah, you got to fire up all your Bucks, and then you could see this as being a high scoring game. Like, I'm not surprised it's 50.5 over under. You could see a lot of points being scored. That's the thing about the Saints, man. They come out flat some games and they just don't put up a lot of points. And then sometimes when they're trying to play keep up, they do. And this could be a game because the Bucs defense isn't really playing that great. And so, yeah, I mean, you could see some Jameis Winston magic, some, you know, chalk it up towards the end zone and somehow someone comes up with it a couple of times.
We shall see. I think the Buccaneers will be plenty prepared for Jameis antics if it goes that way. Chris and I have four more games to preview. We'll do that right after this break. Here's a word from our friends at Jersey Jungle. Are you a merchandise maniac or jersey junkie like myself?
Myself.
You need to check out the Jersey Jungle. They handle their business on Instagram at the Jersey Jungle. You can use their promo code TCK for 10% off of one or two jerseys, 15% off of three or more jerseys. Now, if you've been watching the show for this season or a couple seasons, you know that my backdrop, if you're streaming live with us on video, you know my backdrop is always a couple of jerseys. Those jerseys are coming from the Jersey Jungle. They're high quality stitch and twill jerseys. I collect NFL jerseys, but I'm also a baseball guy. So I have baseball jerseys as well. I collect Hall of Fame jerseys. I have a Jackie Robinson. I have a Ken Griffey Jr. I have a Willie Mays jersey. I got a Shohei Ohtani jersey as well because the guy has been absolutely on fire. Go get yourself a jersey. Basketball, baseball, hockey, football, college. They got rookies as well. Home, away. They have customs, they have camouflage, whatever you're feeling, retro jerseys from any sport. Go hit up the Jersey Jungle on Instagram. DM the Jersey Jungle. Use the promo code TCK for 10% off of one or two jerseys, 15% off of three jerseys. These are already half price that you're going to find on the websites. They're high quality stitch and twill game authentic jerseys. Go check them out. The Jersey Jungle on Instagram. All right, we got Washington football team and the Denver Broncos. Washington football team at 2-5. Denver Broncos at 3-4. The Broncos 3-point home favorites. So pretty much an even line, and then they get that 3-point boost. 44.5 point over under for the Washington football team. You mentioned Gibby's shin. That's an issue. If he starts, you start him. But I'm worried about him. I think, you know, J.D. McKissick could be a flex position if you need to. Tyler Heinicke, I think, is a streamer as well if you are hurting at quarterback for some reason. And then on the Terry McLaurin's a must. And Ricky Seals-Jones, also a nice streaming tight end option. On the other side for Denver, 50-50 with the running backs. I still side with Javonte Williams. I start him every single week in a league that I went zero RB, and he's been just fine. Scored last week, could again this week as well. Wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy is coming back. So Jerry Jeudy, I fire up in my lineups. Cortland Sutton, I'm firing up as well. Tim Patrick has a backseat now. Noah Fant, a nice streamer there. Not really worried about Teddy Bridgewater. How do we feel about Washington and Denver?
Yeah, I think the only two guys I actually am worried about is Ricky Seals-Jones and Teddy Bridgewater. So the tight end for the Washington football team happens to be going up against a pretty stout defensive matchup in the Denver Broncos against tight ends at the moment. So right now, the Denver Broncos have allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points in a PPR format to tight ends. And I just, man, Heinicke is a little all over the place. Like some games he plays well. He plays like a stud. He plays like, you know, he's, I don't know, like he looked like last year when he was in the playoffs against the Bucks, like he's leading the team. And Ricky Seals-Jones seems to be benefiting from that. And then other games, it's like Heinicke isn't really producing the way I would expect him to. So while Ricky Seals-Jones has been a nice flex option up until late, I just don't think this week's going to be the week against Denver. And then Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, he's like Sam Darnold. It's like the two of them had fast starts and then, you know, seemingly are not looking as good over the last 3 weeks, you know, tossing up five interceptions. He's taken nine sacks. Like they're not protecting him very well. He's currently ranked, I think, as the quarterback 19 over the course of, I think, the last 3 to 4 weeks. So, yeah, I guess in deeper leagues, if you need a you know, super flex type quarterback, I guess he looked towards Teddy B, but I'm probably going to stay away from him.
Likewise. Let's move on here to the Bears and my 49ers. Bears 3-4. Disgusting display last week against the Bucks. 49ers likewise against the Colts. 3-4 Bears, 2-4 49ers. 49ers 4-point home favorite. Yikes. I can't even be excited about that, unfortunately, as a fan. 39.5 over under for the Bears. I mentioned earlier, I do a guest slot for my man, Mike on the ESPN New Jersey every Thursday, and he asked me how I feel about the wide receiving core for Chicago, and I basically said Allen Robinson is droppable in 10-team leagues. You should keep him on your bench in 12-team leagues, stash him in 14 and 16, keep him in Dynasty because I think he either gets traded at the trade deadline or after the season, although they did put the franchise tag on him, so they probably won't let him go cheap. And then on the other side, Odell Beckham was the other name that he had mentioned as well. But for the Bears, it's tough. Mooney is already the number one, and he's barely usable. Robinson's been dreadful, obviously. I like Fields long-term, but not right now. Khalil Herbert is the only option I'm interested in for the Chicago Bears. On the other side, for the 49ers, it remains Jimmy Garoppolo. It was muddy. It was whatever. We'll make excuses all day long. But it wasn't very impressive. Debo Samuel remains the number one guy there. That's fine. You play him. Brandon Ayuk, nowhere to be found. George Kittle still on IR. And it's going to be Elijah Mitchell out of the backfield. So, honestly, out of all of these so-called weapons preseason that we're excited about, Chris, I'm literally only firing up Khalil Herbert and Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, I agree with you on the backfield. And then I would continue to fire up Debo Samuel from a passing perspective. But I agree with everything you just said. This is going to be a shaky game from a fantasy perspective. But Khalil Herbert and Elijah Mitchell actually could have very nice games. So definitely fire them up in as you're sort of running back two slots. Chicago is, you know, for obvious reasons, they're averaging the third highest rushing percentage in the entire NFL because, well, they just can't throw the ball at all. And then Elijah Mitchell, you know, he had a hot start. And then in general, the entire scheme around the 49ers is based around a strong run game. And he's that guy. So yeah, I think you could see a lot of Elijah Mitchell this week against the Bears and, you know, a good sort of, let's say, complimentary passing game from Jimmy G to Debo Samuel.
I agree. Hopefully the Niners can get it going here, but tough team all around. I'll take the under on 39.5.
Question for you, Sky, before we move on here. From a for defensive leagues, are you confident in playing the Bears defense against the 49ers this week?
Not the Bears defense, but I'll play the Niners defense versus Chicago.
Fair enough. Okay.
Moving on here. Sunday Night Football. Dallas Cowboys and Minnesota Vikings both off of the bye. 5-1 Cowboys, 3-3 Vikings. Cowboys 1.5-point road favorites. 55-point over under, highest on the week. There's going to be a lot of scoring in this game here. Dak Prescott technically questionable here. I expect him to play. If he doesn't, this is obviously a completely different conversation all the way around. Let's assume he plays. If he plays, I'm going Dak. I'm going Zeke. Pollard is a flex if you need him. Lamb over Cooper, but Cooper and Lamb you start. And, of course, Dalton Schultz, who's been on fire as well. On the other side, you start your studs for the Vikings too. Kirk Cousins, dominant. Fourth in the NFL against man coverage. The Dallas Cowboys play man coverage on 41% of the time. I like Kirk Cousins a lot in this one. Dalvin Cook, of course. Madison, not so much. The comparison with Madison and Pollard for fantasy makes sense because they're high-profile handcuffs, but they're not at all equal when it comes to NFL usage. Tony Pollard has a role with the Dallas Cowboys no matter what. Madison does not if Dalvin Cook is healthy. So I sit Madison, but I can flex Tony Pollard. And then I'm going to go with Thielen and hope for the touchdown upside. Of course, Justin Jefferson. And then I know Conklin's fun as a streaming tight end. We've wanted that, but not really into it. If you're in a deeper league or you need a deeper flex or maybe DFS, take a look at KJ Osborne. He's the distant third on this team, but there's going to be so many points in this game, so much opportunity. He might get a deep one there if you just need an extra name to spice it up a little bit. Should be fireworks in this game, Chris, on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. So the one thing I actually will note, I think the line might have moved like literally in the last like 2 hours because Minnesota, I'm looking right now on ESPN, they have Minnesota favored now 2.5. So this line is going to continue to swing back and forth. I think that's a Dak thing. It could be. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think this line is going to continue to move until Sunday night, until like literally kickoff. As far as the layman's man's terms is it's pretty much a toss up as far as I'm concerned. So as far as from fantasy, dude, it's really difficult to say because Minnesota. So right now they're graded fourth highest defense in PFF at the moment, but they're also graded the fourth highest passing attack in PFF at the moment. And they've had some really tough losses. Like, I know they're 3-3, but they lost to the Bengals, lost to the Browns, and lost to the Cardinals, all of which are really good teams. Yep. Two of them, arguably, maybe two of the best in the NFL, right?
Well, Cardinals, they also lost on, like, last-second field goals that could have gone one way or another.
Exactly. So that 3-3 record is a little bit deceiving. And I, you know, the Cowboys, like, I don't know if they're going to come out flat. They're playing in Minnesota. I can actually see a game where, like, it could take a while for Dallas to sort of get their footing, and then they kind of come alive maybe towards the middle to the end of the game. I don't think they're going to hit the over in this game, actually. You could see a lot of, like, late points, but I just don't think they're going to come out as sort of on fire as we expect them to. They're a 5-1 team, but we've not really seen them challenge, I think, in the sense that the Vikings are going to challenge the Cowboys this week. So I think you're going to start – I think you're going to see the Cowboys come off a little flat. I'd probably not start Amari Cooper if you can't avoid him. You got to start Zeke. You got to start Lamb. You probably got to start Schultz. On the Viking side, yeah, Thielen, Jefferson, Cook, probably Cousins. You feel comfortable starting Cousins, although he hasn't been playing as well lately. You have to start Cousins. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm a little bit weary as to where this game's going to end up.
Kirk Cousins in primetime has been difficult, but he is my quarterback stream of the week this week. I think he's going to be just fine. 24 fantasy points in 6 of his games this year, and I think he's going to be just fine. All right, let's talk about your boy here, Daniel Jones and the Giants up against the under 500 Kansas City Chiefs. 2-5 Giants go into Arrowhead. 3-4 Chiefs. 9.5-point favorite still for Kansas City. 52-point over under. Daniel Jones is a nice streamer this week. Ryan Tannehill and everybody else has shredded this defense. I like Daniel Jones as a streamer. You can still ride Devontae Booker as an RB2 flex position. Whoever starts it at wide receiver for the Giants, I mean, I guess you can throw them in as a flex. Yeah, Kadarius Toney's Shepard. If we can get any of these guys healthy, Slayton, Galladay probably still out, then you can potentially flex them, but not incredibly excited about any of them unless Shepard or Toney are definitely 100% healthy. And then Evan Ingram, I'm going to scratch if I can. On the other side for the Chiefs, I know it's been rough, but Tyreek Hill is still the number 2 wide receiver in fantasy football, and it feels like he's been a complete dud lately. He's still the number 2 PPR fantasy receiver. You start Mahomes, obviously. You start Kelsey, you'll be just fine. And Darrell Williams, again, you're gonna fire him up as an RB2 here with these other guys out for the Raiders and Ravens. So Giants, Chiefs. I don't think the Giants win this game, but we haven't thought anybody was going to beat the Chiefs, and they have been upset multiple times. Mahomes at home in primetime, though, I think this is a get-right game for the Chiefs.
Yeah, you'd hope so. As much as I want to see the Giants win, life feels off with the Chiefs being this bad. So I just think that they need that get-right game. This seems to be the time to do it. But, bro, if they don't and they lose to the Giants, I mean, it's going to be – I mean, they might burn that stadium to the ground. I don't know what you say at that point. The Giants will likely be playing catch-up, so I actually agree with you. Kadarius Toney, as far as I can see, he's healthy. He's going to be playing. Shepard's still questionable, but I think he's going to be playing. I think you're going to see a lot of Daniel Jones on the ground this week. He's been – dude, did you see that catch last week? He pulled his Odell Beckham Daniel Jones catch. My man's is a good quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. He runs it. He can throw it. He does it all. He catches it. I think you fire up this week against the Chiefs, man. They've been playing terrible on defense. So, yeah, go ahead and fire up Daniel Jones. And then, yeah, you mentioned everybody in the Chiefs. Fire them up and just hope for the best. And we actually might see a lot of points this game.
That catch added 2.5 points to his PPR total, Chris, right? I mean,
exactly.
Get a catch, 15 yards, move the sticks.
So for those of you who are a bit,
I mean, he's no Nick Foles, but I mean, that was a hell of a grab.
But he's better than Tom Brady, let's be honest. So so for those of you, just to add a little context here, I won't take too much time here. But Sky was a guest on the Commish Fantasy Football podcast. We did a Commish Debates episode where I argued in favor of Daniel Jones topping off at quarterback 18. Josh, one of our co-hosts on the Commish podcast, argued against me. It was this big debate. It's still a debate inside the league. Josh wishes nothing but the worst to Daniel Jones, and I wish nothing but the worst onto Josh. So that's kind of how we've laid it out.
Love that. The infighting on the Commish podcast is something you don't see these days. It's a nice throwback to the true sense of brotherly love. Oh, yeah. You love to see that. Chris, that wraps up all of our Week 7 action. We do have one question here in the from the Twitch community, our man 510. Stream Cousins or Jones, both in primetime? Again, Cousins at home versus the Cowboys, Jones on the road versus the Chiefs. Stream one of them, Chris. Who you got, Cousins or your boy DJ?
I'm probably going to stick with DJ, dude. I think they're going to be playing from behind. They're going to be throwing it. Something tells me he's going to be running the shit out of the ball this week. Like, I think he's going to find some open lanes. I just don't think it's a little bit of that, but it's also like Cousins hasn't really been playing great. Like, so for example, we kind of wrote this in the playbook, which we haven't talked about much on this episode, but for those of you who follow the commish and you get the playbook, it's our free newsletter. Our opening this week was talking about Carson Wentz. In the last 4 weeks, or I should say since week four, Carson Wentz's 19.5 points per game has outpaced Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr, and Kirk Cousins. So while Kirk Cousins has played decently overall in from fantasy perspectives, lately he's not been as good. So I just feel like Daniel Jones is going to get something going here against the Chiefs. They just haven't been playing well. They'll get right in the sense of a win, but that defense has massive holes. I think Daniel Jones exploits him. So I'd go Daniel Jones this week.
All right. Of course, you got the rushing upside there as well. Again, I had already mentioned Kirk Cousins, my start of the week this week, in the implied total of 55. And while Daniel Jones is going to have a lot of opportunity, they most likely will be playing from behind. Daniel Jones has been taking care of the ball the best he ever has in his career this year, which is great. The Chiefs, the energy of a full Arrowhead, they need a win. This is Mahomes in prime time. They just got embarrassed. He got beat up. I think they come out gangbusters and honestly slap the Giants around a little bit. And this could be a two sack fumble interception game for Daniel Jones. I just like have a gut feeling that, I don't want to hate on Daniel Jones. It just feels like this is a Chiefs get right game. And again, if it isn't though, Chris, there's real panic in Kansas City with the expectations, obviously. But I'm going to stay away from Daniel Jones and I will go with Kirk Cousins there. So 5-0, always appreciate you jumping in here with us and giving us your feedback. So we are split, unfortunately, with you there, Daniel Jones and Kirk Cousins. Chris, before we get out of here, man, we just kind of blaze through, and I think it's best to do our picks at the end instead of stopping the flow there. So let's blast through it again really quick here. I'll give you two teams. You give me the winner straight up. Bengals, Jets.
Bengals.
Bengals as well. Dolphins, Bills.
Bills.
Bills as well. Eagles, Lions.
I'm going to say the Eagles here.
I'm going to go Lions. What the hell?
Why not?
Let's do it. Panthers, Falcons.
I'm going to go Falcons.
Falcons as well at home. You'll be in the hot Atlanta here pretty soon as well, which will be exciting.
Yes, sir.
Rams, Texans. That's Texans easy, I would assume.
Yeah, let's go with the Rams.
All right. Likewise. Steelers, Browns.
I'll stick with the Browns this game.
I'm going to go Browns as well. I think Nick Chubb comes back, and I know it's a Steelers run game, but Chubb's going to be just fine. All right, and then we'll go Titans, Colts.
Trap game. I think the Colts pull this one off at home. Yeah.
Ooh. Tannehill and A.J. Brown have turned it on lately, plus Derrick Henry. They shut down the Chiefs somehow. They're going to shut down the Colts. I'm going to go with the Titans.
Okay.
Jaguars, Seahawks.
I'm going to go with the Jaguars.
Man. Off the bye. You know what? In Seattle, cross-country trip. That's as far as you can go from Florida to Washington. I'm going to go with Seattle at home, but it's going to be ugly. Patriots, Chargers.
I'm going to go with the Chargers. I'm going to go with the Chargers, but I have a bet that the Pats cover this one. So,
all right. Chargers win, Patriots cover. I'll take that. I'll take the Chargers as well at home. Bucks, Saints.
We'll go with the Bucks.
Bucks as well. Washington football team, Denver Broncos.
I'm going to go Washington football team.
Yeah, this is kind of a pick 'em too. I'll take Denver. Denver at home. Neither one of these teams has been up to snuff, but that Denver defense has got the edge right now. I'm going to take Denver in a close one. Bears, Niners.
I'll take the 49ers here.
God, gross. I will too, but basically out of obligation. Cowboys, Vikings, Sunday night football.
I'm going to the Vikings here.
I like that. I would. Well, they're both off a bye, so that's not an excuse. I just think the Cowboys have too much firepower. Although, if Dak is not 100%, could have trouble here. If Dak plays, I'm going Cowboys. Otherwise, it's a cop out, and I'll go with the Vikings. Giants, Chiefs.
Bro, I'm going to go with the Giants.
Do it. Do it.
I'm doing it.
Do it. All right. I if this was in New Jersey, I might actually go with the Giants. But in Arrowhead, again, Arrowhead, Monday Night Football, Mahomes, these guys got to get right. This secondary can't hang with the Chiefs, in my opinion. It may be a lot closer than Kansas City wants, but I think ultimately they get the W, so I'll take the Chiefs there. All right, that wraps up our Week 8 NFL game previews. Chris and I are going to take a quick water break. We'll be back on the next broadcast for the TCK Listener League Breakdown. Chris, for anyone not tuning into that one, please remind everybody when they could find all of the commish content.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go check us over at our social handles at the Commish FFP on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Obviously on all notable podcast platforms, the Commish Fantasy Football Podcast. And of course, go sign up for our newsletter on our website, www.thecommishbrand.com/the-playbook. Sign yourself up. It's a free newsletter. It comes out every Tuesday.
Free quality content. Go get it, y'all. We'll be right back. This episode and all episodes of the TCK Pod have been brought to you by Believe Podcast Network and BetOnline AG. I want to give a shout out to Care Factor and the Jersey Jungle for the sponsors of the show. This is episode 485. Chris and I will be right back with you. For my man Christopher Benavides and the Commish Fantasy Football crew, I'm your host, Sky Guasco. We'll catch you next time. We are out of here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.